Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for spending your valuable time with the Adapt 2030 channel. Rationing in the UK, food, one shopper, two tomatoes, two cucumbers. And with Edinburgh taking meat off the plate, I wonder what'll be left with limited vegetables. Tumbleweeds on the answers. Morocco banning vegetable exports. Year without a summer. Affecting some of the same regions that we're seeing right now. Forecast for the year without a summer. Summer coming up inbound northern hemisphere. Morocco low wheat production. Hard red winter wheat premiums. $1.33 per bushel in the U.S. Anybody notice the Norfolk Southern black horse and the sun mimicking? A horse of the apocalypse. And we need to jump just mere weeks ago. Food prices in Britain record high. Ripping to 16.7% in just a month. And then we move on to the end of February into March, where now there are rations for the UK citizens. So let's look at the facts here first. Thank you for First Post posting this up. Purchase of perishables like tomatoes, potatoes, cucumbers, peppers, lettuce, and broccoli restricted. We call that rationing. Third largest grocery store now going to participate. Two of each per person. And Asada seems to be the most generous, giving you three tomatoes per purchase. Wow. But they also limited cauliflower and raspberries, so wherever you go, it seems like they're juggling the shortages. Lowest level since 1985 for imports from other nations like Spain and Morocco. So what's happening down there should be the question. But if we do look back at the British population, you know, coming out of World War II, they were familiar with rations. They'd already had rationing cards. So the older people are going to do far better at this than the younger, who've never had to go without anything for a day in their life. Sainsbury and Canterbury, totally normal, zero produce on the shelf. That's so normal for our modern era. And now the people of Northern Ireland will have access to exactly the same choice of food that the rest of the UK, which is limited or none. And then we come up to Edinburgh in Scotland, first European capital to commit to taking meat off the menu. Well, if you don't have any meat and you don't have vegetables, gee, I wonder what's going to happen up there. And you can see all this in play as we progress through Clown World 2023. Now, you as well as I are just going to go store to store to store, and I'll get my two tomatoes at whatever, Tesco, and then I'll move over to Asada and get three tomatoes, then I'll move over to the next place and get two. They're going to prevent that. It looks like the shortages are not going to alleviate down in Morocco, and Spain's really struggling to still keep their production up. It's going to take 8 weeks plus, if there's no more events in spring with hail. So I had called digital rationing cards being put out in some locations across the planet. The first rollouts would have been by December of 2022. And 2 months late? Okay, I'll give it three. But somehow they're going to have to stop this jumping from store to store. They're either going to make you show an ID, or there's going to be some kind of limits on what you can do. So there'll probably be a household registry that'll evolve out of this. There'll be other registries that evolve. And maybe this vegetable shortage will alleviate, and it'll, you know, come back in once the warmer grow season comes and a lot of other vegetables from other, you know, nations that import into the UK. But it'll be the first, you know, base level of why we need this new XYZ fill in your blank to register to get the food. So here we go. Because if you thought that, wow, European producers can just slip over into the greenhouses and we don't need to worry about that, high energy bills is limiting production. So as I've seen so far, a lot of articles that I've read, moving over to greenhouse production is going to be a no-go from this point. Tumbleweeds. It's almost as if there's no answers and we're just looking out to the landscape. Whispers, whistles, nothing. You're on your own. So again, part of the blame is, the Moroccans, they don't want to export. They're keeping all the food for their own people. How bad they are, they don't want to export and then have riots in their own country. It's kind of the message you're getting under the breath. So let's look at Morocco here, banning vegetable exports to West Africa. Not even to the EU, to the West Africa. So you know it's significant here. And if we look at the ban on tomatoes, onions, potatoes, it's definitely putting a pinch on small business holders and those in the food industries in Morocco because they're not able to facilitate contracts, and there's already lawsuits flying left, right, and center. In doing these kind of stories, I always get to jump through a few websites. This is the production produce coming out of Morocco, as well as some of the beautiful markets and bazaars. I really want to visit this country when I have a chance next. And if you're into the mountains, Jebel Doubkal, snow-capped peaks at the edge of the desert, nice. But that snow is water, and they're in a massive drought at the moment. I don't know why they wouldn't choose to tap the sandstone aquifer as Gaddafi did, but you know, that's a question for a different video. So for the 2022-23 season here, wheat and barley, total harvested area, 15% less than the five-year average. But check this out, barley production down 70% from the year prior. I've been talking about Southern Hemisphere crop losses, specifically focused on barley, this season as we speak. So we look at leading global barley exporters, Australia, they're going to be down some 30 to 40%. EU, unknown at the moment, because of natural gas shortages. Ukraine obviously really reduced because of the conflict there. Argentina, drought and massive declines there. Canada, decline. Kazakhstan, minimal production. And then Morocco. So you can see barley prices are going to skyrocket this year. Not financial advice, just looking at numbers and doing simple math and supply and demand. And if we look out at wheat price sentiment, this is off grain stats, and they did a survey for traders out there looking at the March 23 prices. Oh, definitely up on that. And then staying with the hard red winter wheat premium, hitting 12-year high on Kansas dryness. So if you're going to buy a bushel of wheat here, hard red winter wheat, you're going to have to pay $1.33. Oh, there's that number 33 again. Interesting. In addition, as a premium over the futures delivered price. More expensive food for everyone. Corn price sentiment up and up and up. Wasn't there a Coldplay song, Up and Up? Yeah, that just is repeated through the grain stats here. Up and up. Here we go again. So looking at the eggs, $14.99. Now the egg prices are starting to decline again, which is a good thing. I found this in one of my files that I had saving for food prices. Bought some Christmas cookies at a little Dutch bakery in Colorado Springs. And then it's cool that the odor actually would, I think. Inflation, what it's all about. Government to devalue the dollar. And this is some examples of fruit up 50%, butter up 90%, eggs 4x, shortening, doubling, packaging doubling. And it just rolls on, and things have rolling, but not here, derail. Is that a Norfolk Southern with a black horse? The famine. So look at this, and then you know that we have this prominence on the sun that very much looks like. Some people see different shapes in the clouds. I see a riding horse of the apocalypse here, but that's just me. It is early in the morning. And it kind of sums up the world that we're in. So as we move into this spring planting season, you're probably going to want to think about really getting self-autonomous with your food. Now there's head in the sand kind of things. I don't care how much it costs, we'll still buy it. These kind of responses when you continue to say there's a problem, a lot of people just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to address it. It's just easier to ignore it. And then finally when it's in your face, work with it. But at that point, when it's finally here at this level where I certainly see it going to with so many others, the availability won't be there, and we'll be on the same rations as the UK is. And then at what point? The money will be meaningless. You just can't buy it at that point. Like, that's the hardest thing to get through people's heads, is they're so used to this entire world that we've all grown up into, literally all grown up into, with no shortages. You know, we would say, oh, that's a developing nation problem. You know, whoever I'm talking to out here that's accessing this in the Five Eyes and these more Western developed nations here, you know, we never went through this type of thing before. So even to put it on the radar, it's just so difficult for people to plug it into their equation of possibility. And then when they do have to rationalize it again, it's like, oh, we can just pay for more for it. It won't matter at that time. But I think those need to be studied more deeply. History book would be a good one, but it's hard to bring up a dull subject like history. So where do we go from here? I've been trying my best to, you know, give different ways to approach the subject to people, but we're all probably experiencing the same things right now. Year without a summer, got to bring it up. So the 1815 Tambora eruption sent ash and sulfur dioxide and cooled the northern hemisphere 1 year after. Now, it wasn't that it just got icy cold. What it did is it disrupted the monsoonal flows, and we had Arctic jet streams all through the summer in the northeast U.S. and also parts of England, the U.K., down into France and up through Western Europe. But on the other side of that line, it was very similar to a normal summer. It's just where you see these blue lines, conveyor jet Arctic style versus the regular red line flow, that's where the crop losses will be. So, you know, at the end of the year, you could say, well, it wasn't a full year without a summer everywhere. Look at that. It was only the Northeast that couldn't produce food, and it was only part of Western Europe. But that's where we're set for. And as we look at the temperature anomalies for that period of time, 30 degrees Celsius below normal, I'm focusing on Spain because the crop losses are down there. And if we look at Morocco and Northern Africa, it's well into the 2 to 2.5 degrees Celsius below normal. But Germany and France are the main, you know, heavy cold zones there. So just an FYI, as we move through into June, July, and August, it's going to stay cooler in some of these areas longer. So that's why I say these vegetable shortages, they're going to continue for a minute. And that's why I say it's going to be the perfect time to set up the registry to get you onto these digital rationing cards. Because we look out, top row is June. The temperature anomaly will stay below normal coming into the spring. July, it'll be mainly centered over parts of Germany and France. And then in August, it'll still be cooler, but notice how it rips through the central part of Spain. And then in September, bam, it comes cold quick. These are the summer temperatures, 2 to 3 degrees Celsius below normal. That's why I'm saying we're going to need to grow some of our own food with this. TrueLeafMarket.com, heirloom and organic seeds for any grow zone on our planet. And please join me for the live streams every Thursday night, 10 p.m. to midnight. You can find us over on the Mini Ice Age Conversations podcast or MIAC podcast channel on YouTube. Mountain High Time with Ransom Godwin, my co-host. We go for 2 hours at a time talking about the same subjects. Hope you can join us there. Bring some friends, bring some families, join the chat where you can converse with others of like minds. I appreciate you watching the video. Hope you got something out of it, and I'll see you next time. I wanted to talk about hand-cranked radios for just a second because I think they're incredibly important. I myself, I did hours and hours of research on the best hand-cranked radio that could also be a phone charger, emergency light, be able to listen to radio stations, the NOAA weather station in case something happened and you were power out, you could still know what the weather was coming. I personally own this one, the Eaton Red Cross FRX3. It's all hand cranked and there's a small solar panel on top of it. So it's multiple options for recharging, including plug-in. So if something were to happen, hand cranking is the next best option. I would love solar, but it might be a cloudy day. You might be inside a house, but you're going to have to create the power somehow. You hand crank it and ergonomically it slides right in like a book on a bookshelf. I can't believe how long the battery charge lasts on this thing. Even if you leave it up somewhere, like I say, on a bookshelf or in a closet for 6 months, it still has almost a full charge after that period of time.
These crank lights and radios are a must-have. The fact is, if you live anywhere where there's going to be weather, you're going to want to know what's going on. You're going to want to be able to see. And not only that, you're going to want to be able to charge your devices so that you can communicate if the power is out. This is something that you should have if you live anywhere where there's tornadoes, hurricanes, blizzards, etc. It's not whether or not the power is going to go out, it's just when you know that's going to happen. So these are something that you should have handy with you in your car, in your backpack. Two or three of them actually would be a good thing to have in several places so that you know that you're going to be able to have light, you're going to have information, and maybe communication. Those are three main things that you need. And plus, it's cool. You can listen to the radio, which makes the time go by if you're waiting for anything, waiting for the power to come back on. You're going to want to keep your mind occupied, and you're going to want to be able to see what you're doing and also be able to communicate if there is the ability to communicate, and you don't want your devices to be dead when that happens.
in an emergency, you would know where people were moving to. For example, out here in East Tennessee, we have massive wildfires sometimes, and you know, they'll be on the radio broadcasting exactly where the fires are moving. And this is off of what you consider like your AM, FM channels that you would get on your car radio. Depends on which frequency that they're using for that. But they will absolutely tell you where emergency resources are stationed. So if you have to abandon your car, you could be able to get to another place. As long as you know the roads, or you might have a map, you'll be able to get to some help or main roads where there's emergency vehicles transiting up and down there. Have this on the go, that it's be able to put it in your hand and still listen to something. It's very lightweight as well. What happens with your communications, or even listening to something, to be able to understand what's going on in the environment around you? And that's the key to surviving. And Ransom, I know you said this a few times, is A, understanding your environment, being able to manipulate your environment, and being able to move through that environment to get yourself to safety, to reassess the situation.
Not only that, this is one of the cheapest ways to have insurance, so that you know whatever happens, if you're on the move, if you have to grab your bag and go, or if you're just at home trapped when the power's out, not only do you know what's going on, but you know if the situation is going to worsen. Imagine all those people that were in several of the different hurricanes that we've had the last couple of years where the power was out. There were a lot of people that didn't know that was coming, and unfortunately they're no longer with us. But I'm sure that people that were prepared and had some radio, they knew where to go, they knew where the relief aid was going to be, they knew which directions the storms were coming, and they knew which directions the water was coming from. So this is a must have for anybody that wants to know what's going on, and also just having the light.
And you can click on the link in the description box below, and remember, any purchase that you make with the links, whether it be through the podcast in the description box or on the videos across the multiple platforms after we stream, helps us keep this type of information and this show on air, so we can continue to bring information and share this information, so then you can share with others. This is truly how it's going to be, is sharing of information, informing communities, and have others that also have some of the same information, so we can work as a group versus being on your own alone. That's going to make a huge world of difference, sharing information in communities.
If you wanted to start prepping and taking it serious to get some of these very inexpensive tools that are necessities, why not be prepared for what might happen? Click some of the links, help yourself.
If you appreciate this type of information, click on that link in the description box below. Support our broadcast, our continued mission of bringing you information that can enhance our lives, make our lives more comfortable as we move through this transition.